Hi, everybody. We're back at the Pioneer Courthouse Square. We're just about a half hour from marching, and I ran into my good friend, Lindsay Reinhart, and I said she had to talk to y'all. So, hi, Lindsay.
Hello. Hi. Hi. I remember the joke. Hi.
Hi.
H-I-G-H, guys.
So, it's a beautiful day for the march, and what are you doing here? You look like you're passing some stuff out.
I am. I work for a local dispensary here in Portland, so I am passing out flyers from some good people that donated a bunch of hash. Free hash? Yes, free hash for patients that just need meds. Even if you come into the dispensary, it's called One Draw Two, and just tell them that you need meds, they're really awesome people. So right now, all of our flower is on sale $8 a gram. Even our top shelf, beautiful, beautiful nuggets, $8 a gram.
Wow.
Really, really excited.
That's tremendous. You know, I've been mentioning today that this is my 10-year anniversary in activism. I came to the march 10 years ago. That's what got me started. And I came here from Idaho, just like you did. We both are from Idaho. And 10 years ago, there were just 10 medical marijuana states, and the highest poll support nationally for legalization was 33%.
Wow.
So you, like I, coming from Idaho, isn't this awesome?
This is great. Last year I came here and I had organized the Global Marijuana March in Boise for 3 years prior to coming here. So last year when I came here, I felt like my Facebook came alive into 3D because everybody I knew was here. It was really, really cool. And then this year I spoke this morning, well, our morning, it was 12:30.
Yeah.
And so I actually got to participate that way. Last year I loved it because we marched and I think we had about 400 people-ish and just blocking down the sidewalk or the streets and everything. In Idaho, we would have to fight for that permit. I mean, you would have to jump through every flaming hoop that they would give you. And here it was so seamless and flawless and like, I don't know, it was refreshing.
I think compared to some of the marches that even yesterday there was some pepper spray,
some
violence. I think any more, the Portland police hears, oh, the cannabis people are marching? Oh, good.
Thank God.
They're all cool. They're all chill.
I figure it's likened to like Seattle Hemp Fest where the officers sign up to work it kind of thing. I mean, I haven't really seen an officer in our square.
No, I saw one walk through earlier today, but that was it, the one.
We had a security guard that walked around for a minute. I know he's hired to be here. I don't think he's been very busy. Everybody has been so chill and very respectful. I really do think that's why Portland works so well.
I think so too.
People are just really respectful of each other. I have found my mothership. I'm not going back.
Yeah, I'm here, man. Here for the long haul. And we're getting ready to march, although there is kind of an air of controversy right now with what's going on at the legislature, and I know you depend on the medical program, you know, for your medicine to battle multiple sclerosis. With all this stuff going on at the legislature, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I've been there. I've been there every Monday and Wednesday that I could possibly be there. I had pneumonia smack me down last month because that's multiple sclerosis. You get pneumonia.
Right.
But I eat 20 grams of oil a month stay healthy, and my grower has a very large grove, and what they're trying to do in Salem is limit the plant numbers down to where my grower right now gives away medicine. So he gives me 20 grams of oil for free every month, and he's going to be looking at taking patients off of his roster that rely on him. The company that I go through is called Crash Wax, and their company slogan is fuck cancer, which I really love about them. So they got educated on whole plant oil from Janice Patton, who explained to them that she needed it to treat her cancer. And then Janice helped me get in with Crash to start to treat the multiple sclerosis. And without people like these guys and all the other large grows that are just giving medication away, not charging people for it, not making them wait, you need medicine, you're sick, here you go. They're going to damage this program pretty significantly with that piece. And so it's been really urgent for people to be vocal about the plant limits that we currently have, as you can have as many cards stacked as at one property as you feel comfortable with. Most people try not to go over 96 because of the feds. And with what's going on right now, it's gonna hurt patients.
Yeah, and it seems to me that the legislature reacts to a minority of people in a high-profile situation who've been caught abusing the system. And then what they try to do to get these guys that have abused the system isn't going to harm them. They'll find another way to abuse the system. It harms the people who are doing it the right way. The people, like you say, who are, they have no idea how many of these guys are giving this away. And it's just mass production to try to help the most people with the most serious illnesses. These kind of changes only hurt the poorest patients, the most desperate patients, and the people who are doing it right.
Absolutely. And I tried to explain to them that we're used to working within the parameters of the law because patients have been begging for the regulation, and now like recreational users begging to be regulated. And it's kind of like, why would you complain about being regulated once you're finally being regulated? But if the regulations are too harsh and it's going to hurt patients, then nobody really wanted to hurt a patient. If they would have put in Measure 91, this will hurt patients, people would have been like, no.
Yeah.
So I've been personally frustrated with the changes where, you know, it did say it wouldn't hurt, it wouldn't affect OMA, and now it's very, very, very much affecting OMA.
Yeah.
So that's kind of been my personal problem.
Yeah, with legalization coming, and you know, I'm kind of sad that it didn't have something in it that explicitly protected OMA. It was almost like, we're going to keep hands off it, and the problem with being hands off it is that left it open for the legislature to swoop in and say, hey, well, we're going to start taking around with this.
And really, why did they, I don't know, I was very, very surprised. I actually called somebody that could help me with it when I was reading SB 844 because I got all the way through it and I was shocked that there wasn't anything to regulate the recreational dispensaries and that we weren't talking about recreation and OLCC. And I called a lawyer friend of mine, and I was like, what is going on? I've never been in a legislative session where there's 40 pieces of legislation all about marijuana,
right.
And you have to track all of them, and you have to track their amendments, and you better understand what's going on, you know? So this has been a whole new kind of level up thing for me, where I've, like, really enjoyed it because I'm a legislative geek.
Yeah.
But that they went 89 pages deep after OMA before even going into Measure 91.
Yeah.
I was just like, wow, I can't believe you just did that. You just left yourself a month, maybe a month and a week, to implement recreational marijuana because you were so busy attacking our program.
Right, right. But I would have thought they would have,
smart.
You know, here's a new recreational law, get that implemented, get it all worked out,
and then,
take a
do.
Look at what's going on. We're too logical for the legislature.
I understand that. Well, I mean, like I said it in my speech over and over, one of the representatives called them all monkeys with a gun.
Yeah.
And so they're going to shoot holes in the program, and it's like they're trying to keep the cannabis in the state. They're trying to say, well, you're going to mail it. But the thing is like, there's going to be 4 plants per household of anybody over the age of 21, and none of those are going to be tracked or regulated. So people are going to mail if that's their prerogative. We'd rather they didn't.
Yeah.
We all understand the confines of the law, but if people are going to break the law, they're going to break the law, and it really shouldn't be reflected on the patients that actually signed up to participate in a law. You know, I have a hard time with that. I do. It's going to be negative for the patients and the plant limits until we get it all figured out. And the other side of it is industrial hemp. It's coming in hard. 7 permits. Last time I looked, there's going to be more. You're going to have people with the 4 plants on their porch that don't know how to grow.
Yeah.
You're going to have cross-pollinization all over the place.
Yeah.
So this whole crop could turn out pretty shaky, in my opinion.
Well, Lindsay Reinhart, always working hard here to our rights and expand them. Any groups or organizations or shout outs you need to give before we go?
Absolutely, thank you. Really, really love International Women's Cannabis Coalition. Under Green Railroad, we need volunteers. I need help, guys, please. If you're reliable, your heart is about the patient, and you're not going to hurt a vulnerable population, please go to Under Green Railroad's Facebook page and tell us that you want to help. And the Parents for Pot, amazing organization, lend them a hand.
Fantastic. Thank you, Lindsay. Have
thank
fun.
You.